What I'd use what we've understood about face-based methods to get some control on Trin-Simons at the quantum level. So to do this, it will be helpful to explain a little bit about the Atiyah-Siegel axioms. And their classical limit. Suppose we have topological field theory in dimension n, e.g. Trin-Simons in dimension 3. Well, the Atiyah-Siegel axioms tell us this is the following data. If I have a, say, compact n minus 1 manifold, we get a vector space. Of course, this is the space of states. More precisely, this is really associated to like n times a little interval, and the interval is oriented. So the typically, what happens is that the opposite orientation will give me the dual vector space. So but the really interesting part piece of data is what happens if I have an n-dimensional manifold with some boundary. Like the following. This is M, and you want to view M as kind of some evolution of a manifold in time. So you want to view the boundary is decomposed into an incoming part and an outgoing part. So then this gives a linear map from the Hilbert space to the incoming boundary to the Hilbert space of the outgoing boundary. These must satisfy the following. Firstly, the Hilbert space for the empty manifold is See? So if I have an n-dimensional manifold with empty boundary, then the partition function, then this operation is a number. And that number is the partition function. Other properties is the Hilbert space for a union is a tensor product. And the operator corresponding to a union is also the tensor product. The most important property is that if I glue manifolds, if I have M and M prime, so the outgoing boundary of M is the incoming boundary of M prime, then you can glue them together. And the operation for this is just the composition of the operations for the other, for the component manifolds. So here's a little picture. Like that. When I glue these two manifolds together along here, this is the composition. It comes in the other way, sorry. The conventions for what you mean by composition normally go the other way. So gluing the manifolds is composing the operations. Okay, this is a very useful perspective for topological field theory. So, and as I said, we're going to use it to try to understand Chern-Simons theory. It's worth pointing out that this perspective was not just for topological field theory, but also for any quantum field theory. In Euclidean signature for simplicity. If you were to apply it to a more general quantum field theory, your manifolds should be equipped with a metric because your theory depends on the metric. If it was a CFT, your manifolds should be equipped with just a conformal class of metric, and so on. So what's the semi-classical version? We've kind of seen how this goes. In the semi-classical situation, an n minus one-dimensional manifold will get sent to the phase space. Which is solutions to the equation of motion on my manifold times a small time interval. Note, so the Hilbert space is It's geometric quantization. And also, what you find is reversing time changes the sign of the symplectic form. We saw this because, you know, the symplectic form is the same data as the Poisson bracket. And to talk about the Poisson bracket, I've chosen ordering and time. I did one thing, then the other. The opposite ordering will lead to the Poisson bracket with the opposite sign. So this piece corresponds to the Hilbert space. So what corresponds to these operations? Well, an operation like this from one Hilbert space to another is the same as a state in the tensor product, or one of them is being dualized. And we know what a state is. So if this guy with the bar I maybe need better notation, with the phase space with the opposite symplectic form, and if M is an n-dimensional manifold, then the analog of, you know, the partition function, or like the linear operator associated to time evolution, is solutions to the equations of motion on M, viewed as a submanifold of solutions on the incoming boundary, times the outgoing boundary. So you know, any solution to the equations of motion are just restricted to a little neighborhood of the boundary, and it gives a solution there, and therefore gives you a point on the phase space for each boundary. We've already seen how to do this. When we considered the 2D scalar field, the vacuum state was what you got by filling in the circle by a disk. This submanifold is a Bohr-Sommerfeld-Lagrangian, and so the classical limit of a state. So any questions about this picture? Okay. So yeah, I mean, the cartoon is, if I want to see how a state evolves along some interesting manifold, you just look at the solutions to the equations of motion on that manifold, that's a Lagrangian, quantize it, you get the evolution operator. Which is very intuitive because this is literally the classical evolution operator. It's taking this solution on the initial thing and then evolving it to the, what it becomes at the end. Okay, so our goal is to try to understand Chern-Simons theory by doing playing this kind of game. So we want to understand, for example, the integral of gauge fields e to the level here I'm on S3. This is these are some Wilson lines. So we can do this by cutting S3 up to manifolds of boundary and using the phase space. There's obviously, there's a lot of different ways you can cut S3 up. The answer you get should be independent of how you do it. So there's, different, we're going to look at several different ways of getting these kinds of answers. So what we're going to do, the first thing we're going to do is cut S3 up in such a way that it's glued from two solid tori. Solid means this torus has been filled in. So how do we do this? The three sphere is, of course, the set of vectors x4, sum xi squared equals 1. We'll write down a subset u to be the subset xi in S3, where x1 squared plus x2 squared is less than or equal to 1/2. And V to be the set x3 squared plus x4 squared is less than or equal to 1/2. So clearly, U union V is S3 because they can't both be less than 1/2. So and the boundary of U, that's the set where x1 squared plus x2 squared is equal to 1/2, and x3 squared plus x4 squared is equal to a half. It's the torus. So we're writing S3 as glued together from two pieces, each of whose boundary is a torus. Now, it's not hard to see that U is a solid torus. Because I draw this picture. If x1 squared plus x2 squared is equal to epsilon greater than 0, then we have a torus. But if epsilon is equal to 0, we only have a circle. So I'll try to draw it. This circle in the middle is where x2 squared is equal to 0. This is a terrible picture, but the equations are probably better. So like, as I go into the torus, like this number here is how far inside the torus I am. As I go into the center, I lose this kind of, I lose one of the coordinates, the one going around. similarly, V is a torus. So on the torus, like this, we have a cycle, this cycle, is contracts to a point in U, whereas the other cycle contracts to a point in V. Because the two cycles correspond to fixed values of x1 squared plus x2 squared or of x3 squared plus x4 squared, and they play opposite roles in the two things. So what we'd like to do is to understand the Hilbert space of Trin-Simons theory at level n. So we're going to work with the group U1 for now, abelian Trin-Simons theory on the torus. And in this Hilbert space, we're going to have a state corresponding filling in U and another one corresponding to filling in V. And then we can write correlation functions of Wilson lines as given by kind of overlaps of these states with some operator in the middle. So that's the strategy. Okay. So Trin-Simons theory for U1 at level n has operators P and Q corresponding to Wilson lines. Say on T2. Wilson lines on the two cycles. Which satisfy PQ is QP e to the 2 pi I over N. One second. So what's the Hilbert space? So I want to give a Hilbert space for kind of acting on the left and on the right. I'm going to use a bracket notation as basis psi I with psi I P psi I plus 1 and psi I Q equals, sorry, it should be K. E to the 2 pi I K over N. Psi K, let me just check how I got this right. Yeah, okay, and then a dual basis psi K with and these pair up, you know, these are form a dual basis. Okay. Well, so we'd like to figure out, so this is a Hilbert space associated to the two torus. So to understand, you know, to compute the correlation functions on S3, I need to fill in on one side by the state corresponding to filling in one way, and on the other side by the state corresponding to filling in the other way. So on U, this cycle, which I'm going to call P, is trivial. It can be contracted to a point. So the state associated to U must satisfy it must be an eigenstate with eigenvalue 1. So this must be this basis vector. We can also see this if we think geometrically about the phase space, the two phase space coordinates being the two Wilson lines, solutions to the equations of motion on U is the submanifold where P is trivial. So we can also see it geometrically by thinking about that Lagrangian submanifold of the corresponding state, and we'll get the same answer. So on V, this one, Q is trivial. So this state must be no, I got them backwards. Sorry. I mixed up P and Q on this blackboard. So P doesn't annihilate psi 0, it sends it to psi 1. So the thing that's an eigenstate of P is this one. This is an eigenstate because when I move them around, it's unchanged. Whereas this must be this one. So all that's going on is we're just seeing that they're Fourier dual, right? Because the way the transformation on the two torus which exchanges P and Q is the Fourier transform. So that's a sum of things, and this is just one of them. And this is just the discrete analog of saying the delta function is a Fourier transform of 1. Okay. You guys happy so far? Yeah. So how do we compute? Let's write down some path integral we want to compute. The correlation function of Wilson lines that are linked. Okay, and we would like to compute this correlation function. So how do we do this? Firstly, we draw it in the solid torus. Well, that's easy. Here's my solid torus. This Wilson line was going to go in the center, or somewhere in the middle. I wish there was better colors in the chalk. And the other goes around the boundary of the torus. when we're doing this game, the order in which we multiply operators is a radial order from the center of the torus. So when I have a picture like this, the orange line goes first. That corresponds to Q, and the other one corresponds to P. So the partition function, this kind of thing, is going to be my initial state hit by Q, and then I do P, and then I do my final state. Okay. And of course, now we can of course compute this very easily. So the computation is not the hard part. The tricky part is, well, I mean, the conceptual picture and understanding what's going on. So, is this picture making sense?
What is the radial order? Just like how far from the center?
There's a central circle. I'm so the solid torus is like a circle times a disk, and it's just the radius on the disk. So the center of the disk is like a circle at the core of the torus, and then as I move out.
Yeah.
So as I move out, I get these tori at different radii. When I'm taking operator products, I'm doing small, you know, the order of the operator products is like the order in which I consider these tori. So the tori are nested. So that's why the orange circle there is at the center, and it corresponds to Q, so I do that first. And then I do P, which is on the outside. Yeah.
So are the Wilson lines here like wrapping the V torus?
Wrapping the which torus?
The V torus.
They're wrapping. So let me draw a picture. So here's my torus, and here is some kind of radius. When the radius is equal to zero, over here, one circle collapses. When radius is equal to infinity, the other circle collapses. So this region here is V, and this region here is U. I'm putting my Wilson lines all in the middle somewhere here. So the way of, let's see, I think I've drawn, the same way. Okay. So P, because it's this circle that collapses at or equals zero, P does nothing, and you want to have Q here. So I'm doing first Q. And then I'm moving on, and then later I'm doing P. So it doesn't actually matter which precise radius I put these things. You only get a problem when they cross. So you can think of them as living in both in the intersection of U and V, or you know, You can move them to live in you, or you can move them to live in V. It doesn't really matter. Any other questions? Okay, so let's now compute what you find. It's very easy. So, this is K. This moves it to psi k plus 1. Psi naught. So I'm just, this is like just elementary manipulations using the rules for how one of these states and how q and p act on them. So this will be let me put this up here and make it k minus 1. So because this is an orthonormal basis, psi 0 and psi k give delta k 0. So this will be e to the minus 2 pi I over n. OK, well. Which is not the most exciting answer, but you know, it's an answer. So let's see what else can we do. So of course, the abelian case is not so exciting, really. Actually, the fun historical fact is that these, you know. The numbers we get for U1 Chern-Simons theory can be expressed in terms of the Gauss linking number, which is from the 1820s or something. So this doesn't really tell us all that anything new and exciting. But let's look at one more thing, which is, what about this? Where I spiral around, hard to draw. We're supposed to wind around, say, or times. So what does this correspond to? We have the same picture. Here we have P at some radius less than one. And some operator corresponding to winding around a bunch of times like this. At or equals one, that winds around one cycle once, the other or times. Right, so sorry, it was not good luck with these. So we need to figure out what that operator will be. In fact, the simplest case is to take or equals one. Let's maybe just focus on that case. So then the outer Wilson line is this. If I draw my torus as a square with sides identified, it just goes up like that. It winds around each cycle once. So what's the corresponding operator? Well, since it winds around this cycle once and this cycle once, it should contain one P and one Q. But there's an ordering ambiguity. So it should be something like PQ, but the correct operator is half PQ plus QP. If you look at this picture, PQ maybe goes that way and this way, QP goes that way and that way. And neither of them have the reflection symmetry that this one does, or right? Reflect along this diagonal. But that one does. So this is the correct thing to do. So then we can compute, in this again pretty simple case, the expectation value of the Wilson lines . So this factor will just give me a half because these are eigenstates. Oh, sorry, I forgot to put the initial P. Let me get myself mixed up. No, initial Q. In any case, it's not hard to compute this, and what do you find? something like half. If you go to the algebra. I won't bother going to the algebra. So, more generally, it's you can compute what happens when you wind around n times, or say or times, and you'll always find some kind of average of some roots of unity. Okay, any questions about this story? So something you might notice when we're doing these computations is that when I'm going to turn Simon's theory at level n, if I take n copies of a Wilson line, I always get the identity. So we'd like to try to explain that. So this is a very strange fact because, like a Wilson line, is a heavy particle. Of electric charge, one. So what this is saying is, electric charge is now periodic. Something of charge n. Is really uncharged, which is a very strange thing because this obviously never happens in familiar systems. But there's a fun topological explanation for this. So to understand this, we need to think about Hilbert space in the presence of a Wilson line. And this is going to be really helpful for other things as well. So I realize I'm not going to get far into this discussion. So if sigma is a surface, and I take some points in sigma, we want a Hilbert space where at xi we have Wilson lines. For example, so if this is something thought of as time, then my Wilson lines extend in time. Well, you know, we want to understand the Hilbert space by geometric quantization, so we want to have some phase space associated to this setting. We've seen this. We've seen that a Wilson line is a heavy particle. So equals, I'm coupling to some 1D, some quantum mechanical system. So we can build a phase space if we can write the Wilson line as the quantization of the classical system . Okay, so I'll pick up here next time. So next, what we're going to do is, you know, the Wilson line is some quantum mechanical system whose Hilbert space is finite dimensional. We'll try to build a classical system with that, which quantizes to that quantum mechanical system, and then insert it into Trin-Simons theory, and that will allow us to understand the phase space in the presence of these defects. And we will learn something about this phenomenon and other features of Trin-Simons theory.